Hi everybody, what is going on? You know, Kira was just telling me here, we have some other stuff that we must get to that we had a plan to talk about with you. However, Kira has given me some breaking news as this track was playing.
This is horrendous.
Is this from just this morning?
Yeah, I saw it this morning.
Oh no.
And I actually just saw it there about 5 minutes ago. And the headline is, and this is just horrendous. It's been run in the mirror. Cheryl's waxwork removed from Madame Tussauds as she's no longer relevant.
Oh, that is catty.
That is Madame really Tussauds. Catty. And it's also really bad publicity for Cheryl Tweedy. Sorry.
She should have stayed with Cole. I'm sorry. Because this whole one name thing.
She couldn't stay with Cole. She wasn't married to the man anymore.
Ara, come on now. This whole Cheryl thing. There's too many people that just have one name as their name. Cheryl Cole. Everybody knew it. I know Cheryl Cole. Yeah, she was married. Whatever. That was working. And then Cheryl... Tweety, whatever. And then did she marry someone again?
Yes.
It was too much, Kira.
Yeah.
It was too much for me to remember.
The former X Factor judge has kind of seen her singing career stall, and her profile, they say in this article, has diminished in the past couple of years, which I don't kind of agree with. She went and had a baby with Liam Payne, you know?
Yeah, that's huge.
That's pretty big. That's pretty big, you know? So the 36-year-old has seen her pop music comeback have a spluttering return rather than a triumphant one, while her presence as a judge in BBC's talent show The Greatest Dancer doesn't seem to have caught the public's imagination.
Ah.
So The Sun has reported that Cheryl's waxwork is currently being stored in the London archives as she doesn't fit the bill as a recognisable enough celebrity despite being an X Factor judge for a number of years.
Ah, man, that is hard. Like, could you not just move her to a less prominent part?
Well,
like, not have her as part of the exhibit. Have her, like, when you come in or she's in one of the toilets or something. Yeah. Like, is it... No, you know what I mean, though?
Oh.
Yeah, she's in one of the toilets, right? And she screams at you if you go near the sink.
A rep for the museum confirmed that it isn't uncommon for our figures, as from time to time we do change who we have in the attraction, which is fair enough. So the review of their collection is so that Madame Tussauds can give figures to best represent what our visitors want to see.
No, I mean, come on. Poor Cheryl. As I said, make it like a bit. In the girls' toilets, have it like that she's there and she's like, she's in a screaming at you motion.
This
and
is interesting. Simon Cowell can still be seen with Sharon Osbourne and Louis Walsh, who is reportedly returning to the show after being dropped by Cowell for last series. So Cheryl first appeared as a waxwork in 2010. And she has kept the modelers busy with her changing looks over the year.
Maybe they were just sick of updating the looks. They were like, lads, this is getting too complicated. Put someone that looks more, you know, uniform in. However, so are they just getting rid of her and putting her in an archive?
You see, if I were to be put into Madame Tussauds, I'd be like, I'm there for life.
Sure.
You know, you don't want to be in Madame Tussauds and then when you get less relevant...
Yeah, you're thrown in the bin, basically.
Into the store.
You're thrown into the warehouse.
Like, I'd love to know who else is in the warehouse with Cheryl.
Wouldn't that be the saddest attic?
Wouldn't
you know what I mean? Wouldn't that be the most bittersweet, tragic attic you could be in?
You know?
Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be awful. Listen, I think they should just move her. Move them around. Like, obviously don't make them a part of the exhibit, like the big exhibits that you walk through for. But have them dotted around the place. Like, have them popping up out of, like, behind a cabinet or something. Don't just get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, it doesn't seem fair now.
Poor Cheryl.
Not the right end for Cheryl. She'll be back, though, and they'll be down at that store digging up that figure.
Yeah, it'll have, like, dust on it. They'll be like, just take this off a bit. Put on a new outfit on her. She'll be great. Because those things, they cost a fortune to make, don't they?
Do.
Yeah, they're just throwing that out. Yeah, all right. Well, anyway, listen, our commiserations to Cheryl. As you say, Kira, she'll be back, right?
She will.
Why don't they make a waxwork of Liam Payne's baby and, like, put the baby in the Cheryl waxwork and have her holding it? Perfect.
That's true.
Why don't they do that?
I don't know.
Outrageous. Kira, do you like Dominic Fike?
I do.
Good, he's on the way. But first, listen, we couldn't not do a bit of Cheryl. So here we go. Cheryl Cole. She was Cheryl Cole when this song, though. All right, Cheryl. Doesn't have the same ring to it. Here's Tiny Tempa and Cheryl with Crazy Stupid Love. Let's go. Are you ready?
Chris Green, you have been going to the gym a lot. Squats, etc. You wish there was a bit more junk in your trunk.
I'm Kira King.
Are you checking out my ass?
Fade is up to FM.
This is what we sound like.
Chris and Kira, weekends from 11.
Yeah, there we go. Absolutely. All right. Post Malone with Wow here on 2FM. What is going on, everyone? My name is Chris. His wonderful woman. Her name is Kira.
Hello.
And we are back. Probably to everyone's disappointment, but listen, here we are. Kira and I mentioned this at the start of the show. Kira, this is huge news. Apparently, 1/3 of millennials can't afford to go to their friends' weddings.
Well, see, these days, I suppose a wedding is more than just the actual day, isn't it? And then if you factor in a hen and a stag on top of that in two nights, and even in a foreign city, how can anyone afford that?
I've had... It's interesting because now, as you say, right? So there's the stag, and there's always a big build up and preamble to the stag, and that's always great crack, yes. And then there's the wedding, and then now it seems like the second day of a wedding is mandatory. Now mm-hmm. it just seems like that a wedding yep. is minimum 2 days. A lot of them are foreign or somewhere very yep. you know far flung, and it's a huge production
and
now.
I think they're foreign as well because it is less expensive to get married in these foreign destinations than it is to get married in this country.
Sure.
So you can't blame people either. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but then we're, as guests are taking the cost.
Anyway.
To travel to their foreign fecking wedding destination.
A new study conducted in the UK has shown that up to one third of millennials simply do not have the cash to be splashing out on a friend's big day. So respondents found that finding the perfect outfit came in as the biggest splurge.
Yeah.
24%, followed by gifts, 18%, accommodation, 17%, and going to the hen or stag do, 10%.
They are a huge production now, and they're a big deal. Now, to be fair,
Chris,
sometimes they're fun. Yes.
25% of people said that they missed their rent because of the money they spent on a wedding, with a massive 43% saying they lost a friend because they had to turn down an invite.
God almighty. See, this is my problem with it. I think there are people who don't understand this, if you understand me. I think if there's certain people, and don't get me wrong, thankfully, you know, very blessed. I've never had any, you know, difficulties like this with any of my friends or anything.
Yeah, me too.
But for some reason, if it's with work or whatever, I've had to miss an important event in their lives. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be it a christening or whatever. And thank God I'm missing those, right? But you know what I mean? Something like that. And you just go, listen, man, not able to make it. And thankfully, everyone has understood.
I think that if you're really good friends with someone, I think you're best friends with someone.
I think they will understand.
They will understand,
exactly.
But I think you'll also go out of your way to make sure that you're there for your nearest and your dearest and your, like, your bestest and closest.
Kira, don't make me feel guilty now. For God's sake.
Well, no.
We're cancelling things left, right and centre.
You know, and a wedding obviously is a very, very important day for so many people out there.
Sure.
You know?
I hear you.
We wouldn't know.
No,
so,
yeah, sure.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and I'd imagine, if you did invite your nearest and dearest and they couldn't make it, there would be a part of you that would be really upset because you're only going to get, hopefully, married once. But these days, who knows, Chris? So I
said that to one of my friends. And I don't know if I think he actually took it way more personally.
Oh, no.
Like, I was like, I'll be at the next one, don't worry. And he was like, what? And I was like, oh, nothing. Never mind. But yeah, it is a minefield. And I have known people that have fallen out over this stuff. That's what I was going to say. And I've been very lucky. I haven't fallen out with anybody, but I know the people that have.
There's rationality, but then there's also emotions involved as well, you know?
Sure.
You know, so it's just, it's a tough one.
Could I ask you one favour?
I had to not go to a hen recently.
Yeah, but they're like, you know what I mean? There's loads
of
them.
No, it was because I was working the weekend.
Sure, but there's
so
like,
I couldn't go to the hen.
Oh, so you actually want to go to things, don't you?
Yeah,
I don't.
I do.
I'm like,
you
that's
don't.
Great.
So
I'm like, oh,
delighted.
I'm working. Yeah.
Oh, no, we work Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, so man, I can't go.
It works for you, whereas I'm like, oh, man, no, I can't go. I'm sorry.
Don't invite me to your wedding if you ever get married. Please. Like, you know we're boys, right? You know what I mean, Kieran. We're brothers. Do you know what I mean? We're bros.
I'm going to invite you on purpose.
Don't.
And I'm going to get married in Mexico on a Tuesday.
Kieran's going to make me best man or something, so I have to go. Kieran's going to make me the priest or something, so that there's absolutely no way out of it.
No, you'll be my page boy.
Yeah! I'll be the kid that comes up with the ring, who's like wearing his first suit, like the same one he wore for his communion. And I'll do that.
Okay, cool.
All right. But anyway, listen. This is big news, of course. And I, you know what, actually,
you know,
when I read
like,
this,
I
I'm like, yeah, it makes
I know
sense.
We're laughing about it and I know we're kind of joking about it, but at the same time, if people have missed rent to go to their friends' weddings, there's something wrong. There's something fundamentally wrong, you know?
No, I hear you. And if anyone's listening that has invited me to a wedding, christening, whatever, within the last 18 months, thank you very much for the invite.
It's an honour.
Yeah, it is. No,
Chris
it
feels
is.
Feels honoured.
Yeah. I do! Chris and Kira. 2 FM. 2. Chris and Kira. Weekends from 11 on 2 FM. Yay! I love it. Zara Larsson, Ruin My Life here on 2 FM. Right, what is going on, everyone? 8 minutes past 12. My name is Chris, this wonderful woman. Her name is Kira.
Hi, Chris. Now,
yes.
I know you weren't a fan of Love Island.
You see, this is the thing.
Not that you weren't a fan, you just didn't watch it.
But you see, you become so aware of everything when a show like that is on that you pick up a little bit just from just from even existing in the world. Yeah. You pick up a little bit.
And I've found since Love Island has finished, I've read way more books, I've socialised an awful lot more, and I've kind of got my life back. You know?
I hear you. Yeah.
And I've gone to the whole, I'm not going to watch that next summer because that's absolutely ridiculous because now I have all this free time, you know. But I have to say it was brilliant because a gorgeous Irish guy called Greg won with his partner, Amber.
Yes.
And Greg came in and in 2 weeks managed to become the winning couple with Amber and walk away with 25K. You know, that's impressive.
Absolutely. 100%.
Very, very impressive. And he seems, by all accounts, a really, really nice person. But anyway, I saw an article yesterday to say that Amber Gill was in Limerick.
Is that right?
Yeah, she was back visiting Greg and that she's in Limerick. And it's just like, imagine Amber Gill, who's from Newcastle, flying into Ireland and meeting all of Greg's family. And I love Limerick people. I come from a whole line of amazing Limerick people. And I love the Limerick wit. You know what I'm trying to say.
My dad's from Limerick. All of that side of the family's from Limerick. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed when I go down there for the weekend. I can only imagine what she feels like.
You know, and like, there's such a warmth to Limerick people as well, you know, and they're really, you know, you kind of feel like they make you feel like you know them already, you know.
Sure.
So I'd love to know how Amber is getting on in Limerick. So there you go.
English people, though, can find our Irish over-familiarity weird. You know what I mean? They can be very intimidated by it. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure she has. So are you telling me that she came over to Limerick and what? To meet the family, is it?
Yeah, to meet the family and to obviously hang out with Greg because the two of them seem to be still together, actually, after winning Love Island 2019 together.
Yeah, so pardon my ignorance. I'm going to sound like a 70-year-old man here. So you're telling me that those two, obviously the idea is you become a couple, and you're saying those two are certainly appear to still be a couple.
Yeah, there's one or two couples have broken up since, I think, but these guys, they seem to still be a couple, you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, that's
so
not so bad.
It's not yet known what Amber and Greg will get up to while in Ireland, but a lot of people are thinking maybe some nightclub appearances, or maybe they won't do that. Actually, you know what, they don't really strike me as those sort of people, actually, Greg and Amber. But anyway,
Greg seems very smart, though, and I don't mean that.
Yeah.
I don't mean this in a bad way, but I think he would be he seems like a very sharp guy. I think he might say to her, listen, we could make another 100K or two out of this. Let's just pretend to be together for like 6 months. We'll appear in a few nightclubs in Limerick and stuff, and we'll be grand. And I think
I don't know. I think there's something genuine.
Do you?
Yeah, I know, Chris.
In the 2 weeks they met on Love Island. Maybe
it's
there
more
is
more than that now. It's been like a month. So
that's true, actually. This is built to last. What am I saying? Sorry, this has been a whole month. They've been through thick and thin. My apologies.
No,
you're dead right.
In fairness, they are experiencing something together that me and you can't quite comprehend.
Sure, sure.
Where everybody, nearly
Night
everybody in the UK and Ireland knows who these two people are.
100%. No, 100%.
You know, so
yeah,
maybe they need each other.
I hear you. It's a symbiotic thing, and it's that they've both been thrust into this very, I'm sure it's very intimidating.
It has to be.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's a very scary, intimidating.
Like,
world.
If I was walking down the street and I saw Amber and Greg walking up towards me, I'd be over to them. I'd be like, because first of all, I just want to genuinely congratulate Greg because he just seems like an absolutely lovely person, and Amber seems like a really sweet girl.
Sure.
But like that, Chris, I don't know these people.
And
I
you'd
don't
be
know
over
them.
To them. Of course you would, yeah. And you'd be doing that whole, now I don't usually, but still doing it anyway and taking a picture of them. And of course you would.
It must be really overwhelming.
I hear you.
And I'm normal, so.
Yes, yes, of course. Well, hopefully they enjoyed Limerick. And
enjoy Limerick while they're there. Yeah.
Are they still there?
Mm.
Oh,
that's
wow.
What I'm saying. She just flew into Limerick.
But what, like today or yesterday? Or this
yesterday.
Is exciting. Okay, I need. All right, thank you. Well, that's awesome then.
Where should Amber go in Limerick, guys? There you go. 51552.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be Chicken Hut. Don't get me wrong. I know that's the stock answer. But I mean, you have to do Chicken Hut, don't you? Doesn't he have to bring her there if they're going there? I would hope so.
That is what you would pick. All the places and bars that you go to in Limerick, that's what you'd pick.
Chicken Hut?
Yeah,
definitely. Oh my God, yeah. If we're going to... Well, never mind any of this highfalutin cuisine. No. Chicken Hut.
Right, okay.
100%. Obviously, there's other places available
and all
that.
I'm really, really glad that, like, Chris doesn't bring anyone else around Limerick because...
What? Chicken Hut's class. Kira, though, would like... I used to presume you mean like bring her on a nice date and there's like napkins and a wine and glasses,
bring
Kira.
Her to
do you want that kind of posh stuff?
Bring her to no.
Cutlery. You're looking for plates. Yeah. Wow.
Bring her to a cool Limerick pub.
Oh, yeah, all right.
There's so many of them. The Curragh Gower, the first one off the top of my head, overlooking the beautiful Shan at St. John's Castle in the background. Greg, sure. I hope that you've thought about this more than Chris Green has.
I guarantee you he has. But anyway, listen, big shout out to them, Kira. Good to see them still together, all of that kind of stuff. Someone says as well, they're documenting it all on the Insta stories. Very nice. I'm going to suggest Chicken Hut to them. I'm going to get onto their
and
social
somebody,
medias right now.
Somebody points out, before we get in trouble, you don't fly into Limerick, you fly into Clare.
That's a very good point.
That's a very good
point. Yes, you do. Shannon in County Clare, you absolutely do. You're dead right.
Chris and Kira. 2 FM.
Chris and Kira. Weekends from 11 on 2 FM.
Here we go, Katy Perry. Small talk. Exactly, with Small Talk here on 2FM. Right, what is going on, everyone? My name is this wonderful woman. Her name is Kira.
Hello.
Kira and I are looking over the details today for the dog festival that's
yes.
going on.
Well, it's actually a trustival, Chris.
Oh, trustival. My apologies. I need to get this
right.
It's
being run by Dogs Trust,
sure.
You know, which is brilliant. It's an incredible charity. They're celebrating a decade of rescuing and rehoming dogs in Ireland. So they are announcing that they will be holding the very first festival-themed event, Dogs Trustable. It's at their rehoming centre on a Sunday.
Ah, damn it, this is a great story. Now, how am I going to be cynical about it here? This is a lovely story.
It is a lovely story, but like this is, we've reached a whole new level and I just kind of see where things are going, you know, because, you know, there's so many kind of twee things that are going on at this dog festival, you know. And one of the things that I saw, I just thought it was brilliant. They have a whole doggy market called Tail Waggers Walk, sure. where you can purchase artisan dog treats, toys, products and more. And it just reminded me of when I first went to Electric Picnic.
Sure, yeah, yeah. It's like body and soul for
like,
dogs.
Yes, artisan yeah. food. I'd never had artisan food in my whole entire life. And then suddenly I started going to these, you know, little places where I got a falafel, Chris, you know?
I hear you.
You know what I'm
very exotic.
Say?
You got a shish kebab and you were like, this is really, you know, cultured. Yeah. I feel very worldly. Yeah, yeah. I'm having hummus. Yeah, yeah. I know what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
So I just, you know, and like there's a children's education corner, there's face painting. And I love this because obviously there's going to be so many puns at a dog's festival, right?
Yeah.
There's a doggy agony aunt and there's a pop-up photo booth with portrait.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then
right.
there's a Museum of Modern Bark,
uh-huh.
which will see a host of well-known Irish artists, including Audrey Hamilton and Morgan, exhibit dog portraits that will be raffled at the event.
Yeah.
It's kind of pretty cool.
No. I always wonder how the dogs feel at this stuff. Because like dogs, let me tell you something. They're the most loving, joyous animals, but they're also very basic. Like you could give a dog a blank piece of paper and if you gave it to him with enough enthusiasm, he'd be like, oh my God. Like I often wonder, you bring the dogs to these things, the dog give a toss? Probably not. The dog's probably like, there's a lot of other dogs here. But otherwise, mm-hmm. he's probably fairly chilled out about the whole thing.
And we interviewed Andrea Hayes before.
I thought you were going to say we interviewed a dog before.
No.
I was like, I wouldn't actually put that past us, right?
Well,
we interviewed Andrea Hayes. We did. I remember she had a book, a new kind of self-help book.
She's going to be at the charity's very own. She's doing the Dog Tales of Andrea Hayes. So it's a competition where people, for a chance for people to tell the audience what their dog means to them.
Okay.
Which is kind of sweet, isn't
sure.
it?
Sure. I know? Hear you. Yeah, it is.
It's lovely, you know. Anyway, there you go.
Now I can't feel. Now I.
But what would you. Okay, let's say me and you had a dog. What would we wear to this dog festival?
See,
are
I
we talking like our flower bands in our hair?
You know the
and all
kind
in
of
one
stuff
bodysuit?
Florence and the Machine wears.
That's
Florence
what
Welsh. That's what I would wear. I would wear like a kind of a cool long hippie dress that's kind of looks like it's made out of a sack. If you know what I mean,
to
like
go
you know
to
those
a dog festival.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
And my dog would have a vegan friendly leash. Do you know what I mean? It wouldn't be leather or any like plastic mm-hmm. material or anything. It would be just a piece of hemp. That would tie the dog and I together. It would be tied around my wrist, tied around the dog's mm-hmm. legs, and that's what it would be.
I think
I'd
just wear jeans and a jumper.
No, what?
Yeah.
To the dog festival. What's it called again?
Dogs
the Trustable.
Trustable.
Yeah,
and in all seriousness, myself and Chris, though, we do want to give a shout out to them because they are celebrating a decade of rescuing and rehoming dogs in Ireland. And it's on in the Rehoming Centre on the 18th of August, which is tomorrow from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. Dogs yeah. Trustable.
Yeah, it is nice. It's difficult to be cynical about that. Yeah, it is. It's going to be a load of dogs just letting loose, having a good time, running around together. It'll be incredible. But yeah, no, shout out to them. It's difficult to be like an ass when it's about something this nice. You're
exactly.
like, oh, no, this is cool. So anyway,
exactly.
you listen.
Chris and Kira. 2 FM.
Chris and Kira. Weekends from 11 on 2 FM.
Exactly. My name is Chris. This wonderful woman. Her name is Kira.
Hello.
I love this story. I love this woman for even attempting this. She's a true pioneer, and I love it. So listen to this. It says, I didn't wash my clothes for a month, and yes, that included my underwear. So Stella McCartney said recently in an interview that you shouldn't clean things too much. You should just let dirt dry, kind of brush it off. You know, that a lot of dirt is, we'll say, harmless. And there is this thinking that we all clean everything too much.
Yeah.
We take too many antibiotics, whatever. We're doing all of this stuff and it's disrupting the natural order of
things.
Yeah,
and I understand that. And sure. I get it. And I don't think that everything needs to be thrown in the wash straight away.
Sure. I hear you.
But, you know, just to be practical, I wouldn't be able to go a whole month without washing my clothes because I'd have nothing left to wear.
That's a lot, you see. Yeah, I can't tell with this research. So the lady says that she didn't wash her clothes for a month. But could you just do this if you had loads of clothes, if you understand me? How much was she reusing clothes, or was she just throwing them all into an enormous bag and then washing them at the end of the month?
Doing less laundry,
yeah,
is also good for the environment. You're saving probably more money and water and energy and all that sort of stuff as
sure,
well.
Sure, sure.
It's great, but is it practical? That's what I'm trying to say to you, Chris. Because I know what you're going to do.
Sure.
I know what you probably do anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm the one that's going to have to deal with it if you're coming in here with dirty t-shirts.
Can I ask, do I smell at the moment?
No, you don't.
No, because there's a reason. No, there's a genuine reason I ask this.
Last night, you've got meat sweats.
Yeah. No, yeah. Last night there was... One of the lads bought a barbecue in Lidl for like €20 or something. So we were making whatever meat on it. Now I smell... You know that smell of burning? Like, you know where we're from? The old lads that would get on the bus and they'd smell like turf. I'm like, oh, now I smell like one of them. Do you know what I mean?
You smell
now
like a barbecue.
I smell like turf and that's burning and outside. And I'm like, can you get it from over there?
No.
All right then, maybe I don't need to wash this for another day or two. Brilliant. That's how I'm going to gauge things. However, this lady's saying she went through the full 4 weeks. And this lady as well that tried this, she has 2 young kids, which I'd imagine is playing this game on hard mode.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
What she did was she selected a week's worth of fresh outfits, t-shirts, shorts, jeans, dresses and cardigans, and she resolved to wear them multiple times before the month-long experiment ended.
I don't know if I could do this. And like, I'm not a particularly like neat freak or anything, but I don't know if I could manage this. And I know you're saying it's better for the environment and it's better for the, you know, energy consumption and all this, sure, but... Still, I'm going to be like, I don't want to smell. I'm throwing this in the wash again. I'm putting it on a quick
she
wash.
She ended up going commando because she obviously ran out of underwear.
Yeah, of course. You're not going to put on properly dirty underwear again. You'd rather just wear nothing, right?
Exactly.
So this is obviously impractical. If by the end of it, she's just not wearing underwear because it's too dirty. However, this reminded me as well. I read a thing a few weeks ago, and it's in this same vein, about how often people change their bed sheets. And that was like... That's a whole other like can of worms.
Yeah, that is a whole.
Like how often do you change yours?
Oh God, sometimes this year I'll go through a phase where I do like fresh bed sheets though.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so the summertime it's easier to dry bed sheets.
Sure.
So you do it more frequently during the summer because you can hang them out and air them.
Of course.
And
yeah.
They're dry within a couple of hours. Winter's a different story.
You gone a few months in winter?
No, months.
Oh,
God,
oh me neither.
No.
Yeah, Jesus, not me neither.
Chris,
of course
you
not.
You go a couple of months.
I used to when I was younger. I certainly don't anymore.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh yeah, no. The worst was, right, so what happened was when I was like a younger gentleman, you know, first living in the world on my own, I wouldn't change the sheets for literally months. And then I started getting like acne and spots. And I was going through it with one of my friends and they were like, are you doing X? And I was like, no. And they were doing Y. And I said, no. And they said, how often are you changing your bed sheets? And I was like, oh, I've never, like, I don't change those. You don't need to change those, do you? And he said, put a towel down and I guarantee you it'll go away. Sure enough, my bed was giving me spots. It was
are
so
you
dirty.
Serious?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, Chris, that's disgusting.
I know people that don't change their bed sheets for like a month or two. Mm. 51552, how often are you changing your bed sheets? Sorry to get off on a tangent here, but this lady reminded me of it. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how long people are leaving that. Now, there's no incentive here. I'm just purely wondering, doing a quick straw poll here. This isn't part of the competition or anything. How often are you changing your bed sheets? 51552. Kira, give me a rough number. How often are you doing it?
Oh, God, every 2-3 weeks.
Hey, that's good. Reg says 2. Brian, what are you saying? He's still thinking. No, he's
4.
4 weeks. Okay. I knew it. I can tell. I just, you know that lad reaction. Because with the second Reg asked me, he was like, oh, gee, and he has to start thinking. I'm like, that means it's a really high number, man. It's okay. You can just, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We got that sound.
Chris and Kira, weekends from 11.
2 FM.
You're here with me.
Yes, there we go. Marshmallow here with me on 2FM. Now, we should get to this, because someone said in the text, are you avoiding this topic? Absolutely not.
No.
I want to get to this topic.
Kilkenny and Tipperary are playing against each other later on, but myself and Chris need to talk about Cork and Dublin right now.
This is outrageous. Yeah.
So the Big Seven's travel list, it comes out every year, it's compiled. And what they do is they compile data from actually a very large amount of social media followers to kind of determine which is the friendliest city in the world.
Were you telling me it's 1.5 million?
Yeah, 1.5 million social media followers.
So 1.5 million people contribute to the results of this.
Yeah, so that's how the data is gathered from a survey.
When I first heard this, right, I said, oh, this is probably some kooky rubbish that had like 200 respondents or whatever. And, you know, it can't be that accurate. 1.5 million people. Worryingly, I go to myself, that's pretty accurate if you've asked 1.5 million people. So I don't know what to make of this now.
So Cork and Dublin have ended up in the top 20 most friendliest destinations to go visit. But who do you think tops it? Who do you think? Okay, so one of these cities, Chris, is number 17 out of 50 destinations, and the other is number 6. So do you think it's Cork or Dublin?
So this is like the top friendliest destinations in the world.
Yeah.
And Cork and Dublin are both on this list.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is 17.
Yeah, 17 out of 50.
And one of them is, did you say 6?
6th most friendly city in the world.
For God's sake, of course any logical human, Kira, would say Cork.
Yes, right. You'd think. No. Cork sits proudly, though, at number 17 out of 50 destinations that were named on the Big Seven Travels list. And it was said that Cork is a charming and compact riverside city where the chances of a stranger saying hi to you on the streets are likely. Dublin was ranked as the 6th most friendly city in the world, and Dubliners were praised for their sense of humour. They said, for such a small city, Dublin packs a serious punch when it comes to friendliness. People are here are good natured with a good sense of humour. Whether you're lost or just looking for a chat in a pub, Dubliners will be on hand to help out. Locals even thank the bus driver. The perfect example of classic Irish warmth. Locals don't thank the bus driver. Everyone thanks the bus driver. So unless they're getting all those country people that live in Dublin mixed up with genuine Dubliners.
That's what I was thinking. Mm. That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. I was thinking it's all of us, quote unquote, blow-ins and stuff that are bringing up the average niceness, the
friendliness,
aggregate niceness of the locality.
Mm-hmm.
Dublin, are you sure Dublin Ireland now?
Yes,
like not Chris, Dublin, Ohio or something, or some weird other Dublin that we don't know about.
No,
Dublin is the 6th friendliest city in the world.
Indeed. And the friendliest city is Vancouver, in second place Bruges, and third was Kuala Lumpur.
And Dublin is on there as the 6th friendliest city in the world.
Chris, I feel you have an issue with this.
Because what I was going to do was, I was going through it in my head, all the ways I could attack this data. I'd be like, oh, probably nobody responded to this survey. 1.5 million people did, so there must be some legitimacy to it. And then you were saying, maybe it is all of us outsiders coming in and making the place nicer. Because I'll tell you something. Dublin, the 6th friendliest city in the world now, Kira. Are you absolutely sure?
Yes.
Is this a recent article?
Yes, Chris, from 2 days ago.
Well, I mean, in that case, even though we are two proud Galway people who think the world revolves around Galway, I guess we're going to have to take this for now. Just for now. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to have a full review of it. Someone says Chris has nothing good to say about anything. I just said something good about Galway. Texter, if that's any good to you.
But anyway, there you go. Interesting statistics, though, all the same.
Yeah, interesting is one word for it, Kira. Interesting is definitely one word for it. But hey, listen, we must be gracious. Congrats, Dublin, on being the 6th friendliest city in the world. That is, I tell you, that is some achievement, especially given you know, and your general demeanor. But no, you know what? You're right, Kira. And I think that I'm going to try to be diplomatic now and say,
please,
this.
For your own sake.
A lot of people from outside of Ireland do say we, just as a nation, are incredibly friendly. And we all are very open and, like, we'll talk to anybody and whatever. But look, how about this? Here's what we'll do. Lisa McHugh, watch me. And you know what? A great Irish export that we can all get behind. John Gibbons. You know what I mean? Can we all not agree? He's brilliant. He's the most friendliest city in the world. John Gibbons, Hot Stepper on 2FM. Oh, yes.
Hi, this is John Gibbons and you're listening to my new
got that sound.
Chris and Kira, weekends from 11.
2FM.
Shawn Mendes, bring it home. Yes. Someone says, hi, just to text in, what an ass Chris is about his comments on Dublin and our demeanour, and him saying that all the credit goes to blow-ins. Very offensive to all the lovely Dubs. You really just showed your ignorance, and maybe you should go back to live in Galway if that is your thoughts on our county and the Dubs. We should all be supporting each other as being Irish and not putting each other's counties down.
That's what Irish people do, though.
Come on, that's what the last 1,000 years or so of our civilization has been based on.
My
it's great
God.
Fun.
Inter-county rivalry, out-of-county rivalry,
exactly.
Everything.
Rivalry within parishes,
yes.
Everything. Come on, we just constantly fight with each other. But Dexter, you're dead right. We're all lovely and we are one of the nicest nations in the world. One of the greatest little countries to do business in. All of that kind of stuff. All the stuff they say about Ireland. Come on. Hey, speaking of which.
So that's his apology, Texter.
That's my apology. Exactly, Texter. You're dead right and we're all lovely. And I hear you. Absolutely. Kira and I were discussing something else, however, to bigger issues of geopolitics. Trump is trying to buy Greenland.
Mm-hmm. And he's been warned that the island cannot be bought from Denmark.
That's right. You see, Denmark owns Greenland. And for the most part, Greenland is a whole lot of nothing. It's, you know what I mean? Like, there's 50,000 people living
Chris,
there.
First Dublin, now Greenland.
I'm going to get a text. Hi, I'm from Greenland. And I just want to say, you're ignorant. Yeah, I'll get one of those. Yeah.
Okay, so let's try and be nice about a country.
No, I mean, for the most part, Greenland is an enormous chunk of land.
Yes.
With very little habitable area.
There you go.
But that is the case, to
yeah,
be fair.
Yeah, there you go. That's just a nicer way of phrasing it.
And it's blow-ins that make it nicer. And the only people that thank the bus driver in Greenland are us people from Galway. No, but it's got about 50,000 of a population. Denmark own it. And the US government, this is a kind of a thing that it's one of these kind of tropes. They've always been interested in Greenland, you know, because it'd be strategic. They could place bases there and stuff. And, you know,
it's kind
especially
of autonomous, yeah.
And with tensions of you know, with Russia heating up and stuff, they're saying this would be a great little spot to have, you know, maybe an outpost, we'll say. And I think another US president had suggested buying Greenland before. And I think he almost suggested it half jokingly, and he got huge flack for it at the time. But apparently, Trump is also now saying that the US government should consider looking at Greenland and purchasing it. And apparently this is 100% real. This is being reported by Reuters, BBC, everything. This isn't like some weird kind of lol article.
Well, officials in Greenland have insisted that the island is not on the market.
Is that right?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, the US government has an awful lot of money. You know what I mean? I mean, and like, don't get me wrong.
It doesn't matter, Chris. It doesn't matter. No amount of money could buy your country from you, do you know?
Wouldn't that be, that would be really kind of sick and ghost, wouldn't it? If they actually were like, right, how much do you want for it? We're not doing anything with it. We'll sell it to Trump. But Greenland Premier Kim Kielsen repeated the comments in a separate statement, and he said, Greenland is not for sale. Greenland is open for trade and cooperation with other countries, including the USA, but not for sale, apparently. So there you go. He says, she says, thanks to Trump buying Greenland. That they need, and she added that they need a better and more equal partnership with Denmark. Well, there you go. That would be kind of weird, though, wouldn't it? Like, as in, you're this country that even though it has a huge landmass, you have a fairly low population density, there's only about 50,000 of ye, and the president of the US is showing interest in buying your place. I don't know. I mean, if you were corruptible, maybe you'd consider it.
That's true.
Maybe you'd go, you know what, Trump, a few trillion, and we'll put it on the table.
Well, politicians in Denmark, they have ridiculed the idea as well. So a lot of people are opposed to this, Chris.
Yeah, no, I think as you always, know? Trump is the only one suggesting this idea seriously. Mm-hmm. And I just worry that he's going to start looking around at what else is available.
This is what one of the guys, I think he's in the Danish People's Party, said. The thought of Denmark selling 50,000 citizens to the United States is completely ridiculous, which it is.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, when you look at it that way, sure. Fair enough, I'll give you that. But hey, apparently they're going to, you know, see what they can do. Hey, listen, nice bit of publicity for Greenland anyway, and probably not going to sell it. I'm pretty sure a previous US president also suggested this when tensions were high with Russia, and it didn't work either. But hey, who knows? The US is famous for buying territories. So like, isn't that old story they bought Manhattan? Or like, as in the island where Manhattan and New York now all is. It was swamp, and I think they bought it off Native Americans at the time for relatively, you know, low price. So look, we'll see. But Trump and his offer for Greenland being rejected as of now. How about this? Taylor Swift, Lost Frequencies, Tiësto, all still coming up. First though, let's do Mabel, Mad Love, here on 2FM, the sound of the nation. Oh yes.
You have been going to the gym a lot. Squats, etc. You wish there was a bit more junk in your trunk.
I'm Kira King.
Are you checking out my ass?
Fade is at 2FM.
This is what we sound like. Chris and Kira, weekends from 11.